Hello, welcome back to another night. This is L.A. Nyman. I cannot replace the Maggid Shir, but I will be giving Shir in his stead. We are learning Lila Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Ben Zavel, Peral Bas Pinchas, Miriam Liba Bas Rav Aaron, Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh, May the Neshama of Sam and Aliyah, Refuah Shleima for all those who are sick. Our Shir should be Schuss for Eretz Yisrael and for the Klal Yisrael. So, it is Chol HaMoed, Guten Moed, don't forget to count Sfira, Guten Moed, and as it is Chol HaMoed, we are going to be learning about Pesach, of course, and we're going to be learning specifically 7th-day Pesach. There was a request for 7th-day Pesach, and so we're going to be doing that. There are many themes from Pesach. One of them, of course, is Sfira Saomer. One could talk about Shira Shirim. One could, which I know one of the Makide Shirim did. That soon we'll be doing Perkei Avos in addition to Parsha. But we're going to be doing 7th-day Pesach as it is coming up, and there was a request. We're going to be reading from the Book of Our Heritage by Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov. To recap, Rabbi Kitov was a Rav about, I think, like 50 years ago, and he wrote Svarim containing the holidays, and it was originally in Hebrew, and he translated it, and it recaps all about holidays, and he writes things sometimes that I did not know. Sometimes I may disagree with certain things, so I heard it differently, but 95% very, very profound and very informative. He was a huge Talmud Chacham, from what I understand, and although, you know, like, 2% of the time, sometimes I say, oh, well, you know, I heard something differently, or a Rav told me differently, but 95% of the time, he hits the mark. And so we're going to be reading from Book of Our Heritage, and we're going to be learning about 7th-day Pesach, things that people may not have realized. So, without further ado, Rabbi Kitov, the 7th-day of Pesach. The 7th-day of Pesach is not a separate festival in its own right, as the case with Shemini Atzeres, the last day of Sukkot. Rather, it is the conclusion of Pesach, and we therefore do not recite Shachianu when making Kiddush or lighting candles. Okay, so 7th-day Pesach is part of Pesach. The 7th-day of Pesach marks a day when many miracles were performed for our forefathers at the Red Sea. The Torah states, "On the 7th day shall be declared a holy day for you. No work shall be done on that day." In most of the instances where the Torah refers to the first day of Pesach, mention is made of the Exodus from Egypt. Regarding the command to observe the 7th day of Pesach, however, no mention is made of the miracle of the splitting of the sea which took place on that day. Moreover, when the Torah refers to the miracle in Parshas Bishalach, no mention is made of the date on which the miracle took place. As we have already noted, holidays were not given to Israel to mark the downfall of her enemies. Rather, they were ordained to commemorate the Jewish salvation. Hashem does not rejoice when the wicked are destroyed, and the Jews is also not to celebrate these instances. The Jews were commanded to observe the last day of Pesach, even before they knew that the Egyptians were destined to drown in the sea on this day. So apparently, the mitzvah came even before the event, which is, I did not know that. The Torah therefore ignores the link between the last festival day and the splitting of the sea. The essence of the celebration of the day is the song that Moshe and the Jews were divinely inspired to sing on this day, a song that merited being included in the Torah, a song to which Hashem and his heavenly consorts listened. So this is Parshas Bishalach. Don't get confused with Shir Shirim. Shir Shirim is Tanakh. We're talking about Parshas Bishalach, Az Yashir. He's talking about the Az Yashir, not Shir Shirim, which is interesting. This year, it's, I think, one day apart due to the way it falls out. They're always like a few days apart. Now, this year, they're one day apart. He's referring to Az Yashir. Although the Torah saw fit not to mention that the drowning of the Egyptians took place on this day, for the reason which I already mentioned, we have a tradition that this event took place on this day. Once it was permitted to commit the oral tradition to writing, we have written sources for this as well. I think he's saying that although the Torah doesn't say that it took place, there is a tradition. And once there's the Torah Shmal Peh, so you could, you know, once there's a tradition that the 7th day Pesach was when they drowned, so there's going to be a lot of Torah out of it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, in a mocking way. It's just there is going to be chidushim, a certain idea. So in the next paragraph, he's actually going to go through the history, and it is based on a medrash. It's based on medrashim, of course, and he's mamash going to spell out every single day that happened, the day of the week, and everything. And I think it's important to know to instill in us emuna, and to understand the way Hashem runs the world and exactly what happened. Okay, so this is a medrash. A brief chronology of the 7 days of Pesach. According to the Mechilta, Parshas Pesach, the chronology of events that transpired between the first and seventh days of Pesach was as follows. During the entire period when Moshe negotiated with Paro, he asked that the Jews be permitted to travel for 3 days to offer karbanos to Hashem. His purpose was to establish the Jews as men set free by Hashem rather than slaves set free by Paro. When they left, Paro knew that they had no intention of returning. Hashem, who had performed incredible miracles in Egypt, would feed and sustain them in the wilderness. Nonetheless, Paro thought, they asked me for more than 3 days, so it is as if I still have a hold over them. He therefore dispatched couriers, I think like officers, to accompany them and report back to him as to their actions. The Jews did not prevent these couriers from going with them. On the morning of the 15th of Nisan, all Hashem's hosts departed from Ramses, and on that day, they arrived in Sukkos, okay? So, just to be clear, 15 of Nisan is, I believe, when the Jews left. Okay, and they went from Ramses to Sukkos, okay? Yes, it is like the holiday. Sukkos is the name of a city, I believe. It's like Tanakh city. There, Hashem encompassed them with 7 clouds of glory. As we've already noted, that day was a Thursday. So I assume that in the original Hebrew of Rabbi Kitov, and I guess the Medrash says Yom Chamishi, Mamash knows exactly the day of the week, that it happened. It is mentioned, I think, in the Gemara as well, about just as a side point, as to, I think, all hold that Shavuos was Shabbos, so you could figure it out. That's amazing how he's got every single thing recorded. It's the Medrash. I think these are Midrashim. The next day, the 16th of Nisan, okay, so that's what we call in Chutz Laretz, second day Pesach, right, second day Golos. They traveled from Sukkos and camped at Esam at the edge of the wilderness. On the 17th of Nisan, which was Shabbos, they remained encamped. On Sunday, the 18th of Nisan, the people of Israel began to prepare their belongings and animals for departure. Paro's courier said to them, "Your period of freedom has ended. It was time for you to return to Egypt, for he said you would be going on a 3-day journey." The Jews replied, "It was not by Paro's permission that we left Egypt. It was Hashem's exalted hand that brought us out." The couriers, meaning the Egyptian officers, countered, "Whether you like it or not, in the end you must obey the royal command." The Jews rose up against them and struck them, killing some and injuring others. Those who remained went back to report to Paro. When the couriers left at midday of the 18th of Nisan, Moshe said to the Jews, "Go back towards Egypt so that Paro shall not claim that you are fleeing. Let him catch up with you near his land. If he has the power to stop you, let him come and stop you." Moshe sounded the shofar, and the people returned to Pi al-Hiros, a day and a half's journey from Egypt. When the blast of the shofar was heard, those with little faith began to tear out their hair and rend their clothes, for they saw that Moshe was returning them to Egypt, right? So one may recall their chumash. Remember, very often the Jews said, "What, you're returning us to Egypt?" And they were always complaining, "What, there was fish in Egypt?" Things like that. So it was very scary, right? Hashem runs the world, they should, right? But if you had a little faith, then oh my gosh, right? You know, Moshe, what is he doing? They were calmed only when Moshe told them, "Hashem himself has told me that you are free men. Our apparent retreat is only to entice Egyptians and mislead them." The couriers traveled for a day and a half, and at the end of Monday, the 19th of Nisan, okay, that's, I think, on Chol Hamoed, they came to Paro and informed them that the people had fled. On Tuesday, the 20th of Nisan, Paro assembled his chariots and, gathering his nation to accompany him, set out in pursuit of the Jews, catching up to them as they camped on the banks of the sea. On Wednesday, the 7th night of Pesach, right, so what we call Shvi Shal Pesach, the beginning of the 21st of Nisan, the Jews entered the sea, and in the morning they came out and saw what Hashem's exalted hand had done to the Egyptians. It was then that Moshe and the Jews sang their song of praise, right? So the Wednesday, it was the 21st of Nisan, was Wednesday, 7th day Pesach, and that's when they saw what happened. And as such, right, I mean, Rabbi Kitov writes it was actually in reverse, but still, I guess it was a day destined, Hashem knew, obviously, right, that would happen. And so that was a great miracle, right? So, of course, we have the first day of Pesach, 15th of Nisan. He writes here, right, this is Rabbi Kitov, that they departed from Ramses and showed up in Sukkos, right? So I think Ramses is in Egypt, but it's like on the way out of Egypt, right? We know, of course, I think it was the 15th, they left Egypt. So they leave Egypt, and for several days they're traveling around. It's the whole story that I just told you, based on the Medrash. And by 7 day Pesach, they cross the sea. Okay, so that's what happened. That's why we have 7 day Pesach, and of course the 8 days is because Sfeika de Yuma, which is not for now, because it's right. Which day is 7 day Pesach? We're not going to deal with that now. It was on this very date, meaning the 7th day Pesach, 81 years before the Jews stood on the banks of the Red Sea, that Moshe was cast into the river as a result of Paro's edict, Paro's decree. The Talmud writes, okay, so it's the Gemara in Sota, Rabbi Hanina bar Papa taught, that day when the incident was Moshe was cast into the river was the 21st of Nisan. So Moshe, meaning before Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to the Gemara, was cast into the river on 7th day Pesach. The ministering angel said to Hashem, Master of the world, he who is destined to sing the song of the sea on this day shall be punished on this day. On the same date, 1 year before the Exodus, Moshe left Midian at Hashem's command to take Israel out. For on the 15th of Nisan, Hashem had appeared to him from within the bush and urged him for 7 days, the period of Pesach, to accept this mission. Okay, all right. The Tikkun of the 7th night of Pesach. It is an ancient custom for the pious among the Jews to remain awake throughout the night, or for most of it, on the 7th night of Pesach to study Torah. Something, again, I had not heard of. Of course, we know Shavuos, I heard of Hoshana Rabbah. He actually writes here, I'm not sure where this comes from, okay? I think it's just a custom. To stay up 7th night Pesach and learn. The night study consists of a special collection of sections from the Torah, the prophets, meaning Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, combined with elements from the Mishnah, Gemara, and Medrash. They conclude their study with the sections from the Zohar's account of the splitting of the Red Sea. This compendium of materials is referred to as Tikkun, rectification. The Jews had not reached the level wherein they would be worthy of a miracle of the stature, the splitting of the sea, worthy of full redemption, or worthy of having the song that they sang incorporated into the Torah. It was only because of the great faith in Hashem and Moshe, combined with the merit of their being destined to receive the Torah, that they were worthy of all that transpired. The anniversary of the night that they stood at the banks of the sea is a time that is a fitting and auspicious night for strengthening our faith in Hashem and His Torah. So that's why that there are some people who stay up and learn. All who desire to be purified receive assistance from heaven, and is especially true of the 7th night of Pesach. Okay? So, right, in other words, in general, right, if you want to try to come close to Hashem, you will. And if you try 7th day Pesach, you'll have a lot of mazel. I don't know exactly, I guess because of what we said, that it was a special night, and so I don't know where this custom, you know, he writes it, I don't know where the custom comes from, but to study, you know, there's a certain mahalik, you don't just learn, I mean, learning is good, I guess, but there's a certain mahalik on how to do it, and it's an old tikkun on how to do it, and if you do this, it's a special segula to come close to Hashem. That's what I think he's writing. I really think that's what he means. And clearly, you know, it's hard for us to, at least for me, to grasp these ideas just in terms of, like, you know, what the, you know, okay, so what? But I will tell you this. One of the things, sometimes I listen to Rav Eli Melech Biederman, and he seems to be very big into the idea that whatever happened then is, like, it's happening now. So he talks about it, Rabbi Biederman talks about it for Hanukkah, for Purim, for Pesach. Like, I think it's a Kabbalistic thing that anything that was, like, happened in those days, it's happening now. So when 7th day Pesach comes along, it's like it's happening right now. And that's why there's a certain tikkun, and to tap into it and to try to come close to Hashem, I guess, because since the Jews, you know, were in a desperate situation and came close to Hashem, so that's why if we tap into that, we could also come close to Hashem. And it's my bracha to everyone that to at least think about in the next few days the significance of 7th day Pesach and what it means and what the deeper message is in terms of maybe to review Parshas Peshach. Oh, I think it's in the Kriya Satara, but to review Parshas Peshach and to try to think for ourselves, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? What are the lessons that the Jews were saved on the 7th day Pesach? What does it mean that they were saved in the sea? What are some of the lessons? And I think in the schluss of tapping into those lessons, we'll see Besoros Tovos. This is Eli Nyman wishing everybody bracha tzlacha in the learning. I want to wish everybody a Chag Sameach, and we'll see what happens the next few days. Sure wise. Have a wonderful Chag Sameach. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.